Dear brothers and sisters, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers, and all children of God who attended the worship online, this is the 76th lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, I explained how the ecosystem of the earth changed after earth was cursed due to Adam's sin. Adam, Eve, and all the serpents were cursed and driven out from the Garden of Eden in the second heaven to earth in the first heaven. Furthermore, the curse fell upon the entire earth in the first heaven as well. The reason is that power to rule is the world passed from the Adam to Satan, the devil. What I say has been proven over time when I explained the UFOs in the 1980s. People called me a heretic. So at the time, a college student asked me the questions like, if a Christian mentioned the UFOs, it's heresy, right? They said that claiming humans live somewhere other than Earth is wrong, biblical, and therefore heretical. But now, most people admit that UFOs exist. Aren't they consistently appearing in China? They've appeared in our country several times too. Last time, they appeared in the Daejeon and Gwanghwamun, and they were everywhere. In China, airports were closed for several incidents where planes couldn't take off because of UFOs. There are various theories about the extinction of the dinosaurs, but I said that fire descended from the second heaven and burned and killed only dinosaurs. As the science advances, more credible theories are beginning to emerge. This is an article from the Gyeongyang News titles, Dinosaurs Went Extinct Because of a Cosmic Rays. Although scientists don't know about the existence of the Garden of Eden, they've overturned many theories and now believe that some kind of a cosmic ray killed the dinosaurs, which is very close to the truth. They can't possibly know the extinct of the gods of fire in the Garden of Eden or how everything went extinct, but they're getting close to it. The cause of the extinction of the dinosaurs was seen as an external factor, not an internal one. Many of the things I preached in the 1980s and the 1990s are now being proven true. I've been saying that since the early 1980s that people will be getting 666 barcodes on our foreheads and the wrist. I mean, people's foreheads and the wrist. It will be planning to implement it in the United States. There are reasons why people need to stamp it on their foreheads and the wrist. The proof of how accurate the Bible is. So all plants and animals were cursed because the power to rule this world passed from the Adam to Satan. In the Luke chapter 4, 6, the devil said to Jesus, I will give you all this domain and its glory. This passage states that the devil received this authority. Who gave it to it? God? No, it must have received it because someone else gave the power to it. For it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. The devil is saying, I've received it, and I can give it to whoever I want. It is saying that it will give the power to our Lord, so it said to Jesus to obey it. The phrase, this has been handed over to me, means that Adam handed over the power of the world to Satan. God gave Adam authority, didn't he? To have Adam rule, govern, and subdue. That power was given to the Adam, who now disobeyed and sinned, and so his spirit died, just as God said. And whom did he obey? Adam became a slave to the one who he obeyed. Because he obeyed the enemy devil, he had no choice but to hand over authority to enemy devil. By obeying Satan, Adam handed over all his authority to Satan, and it gained the power over the world. Therefore, this world, which had been under Adam's authority, came to the rule by the Satan and the devil. As a result of the sin, all the earth, as well as all animals and plants on the earth, fell under the curse. Among them, the serpent was a curse, the worst. What happened to the serpent? First of all, its physical form was wretchedly altered. Because of the curse, the appearance of a snake changed into his miserable one. Do you remember how it was described before being cursed? The serpent once had legs. Its skin was very silky and shined brightly. Its color was very pure, yet splendid. In general, it had a long, silky, and soft body. It shined brightly, and it was beautiful to behold. When such a serpent as this was cursed, it came to look hideously ugly and nasty in comparison. Its legs disappeared, and it had to slither on its belly. This curse came equally upon all the serpents which were driven out from the Garden of Eden as well as the snakes on earth. The reason is because the attribute of the craftiness lies in all snakes and the serpents. That's why the serpent is described as a cunning and a crafty in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. That's why the serpent could have tempted Eve and deceived her. Even today, people use such a cunning tactics to deceive one another. Therefore, God let all the serpents go on their belly to show that the serpents are the lowest being among all animals. They were not created like that originally, but their legs disappeared. How miserably they changed. And then God said to the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, 14, "And the dust you will eat all the days of your life." Have you ever seen a snake actually eating the dust? I don't think you have. It's because the snakes don't eat the dust. They eat mice, frogs, birds, or insects. Big snakes also eat rabbits. Then why did God command the serpent to eat dust? His command contained a spiritual meaning. Dust in the verse refers to the man created from the dust of the ground. Dust refers to the person who was crafted from clay. And the term serpent refers to the enemy devil and Satan. Therefore, serpent eat dust has a spiritual meaning of the enemy devil and the Satan prey on sinners and bringing on them trials and afflictions. Trials and the tribulations don't just come by accident. They come because Satan is working on people. God told the serpent, symbolizing Satan, to eat dust for the rest of your life. And so it approaches those who have sinned and carries out its work. Those who don't believe in God are slaves to the devil and Satan from the beginning. If a God-believing man commits sin, Satan can accuse him of the sin. Satan can ask the price for the sin of God. Satan can confidently demand a sinner to pay the price for the sin he committed. In the book of Job, Satan made any demands on Job, because God commanded Satan to eat dust all the days of your life. Therefore, if you commit a sin, then you should quickly repent of it and cleanse by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. To Satan asking for payment for the sin, you should show the Satan that the Lord Jesus Christ already paid the price for your sin. Then Satan can no longer bring on you any trials or afflictions. However, in the case of the committing a grave deed of the flesh, you may be followed by the refinements in your life. So, if you have committed a sin, not a sin that led to death, quickly repent and confess, and if you turn back, God will forgive you. When you pray for the forgiveness through the blood of the Lord and find peace in the being forgiven, Satan will no longer be able to hinder you. If the sin is not a sin that leads to death, it can be forgiven up to 70 times 7. If God did not show such a mercy, no one would be saved. However, since they lead to death, the works of the flesh, there's no forgiveness for them. If you commit such a sin, you cannot repent because they lead to death. If you committed these sins, many disasters will follow. Some believers say, "Oh, I live a good life of faith, but why did I get this disease?" Then think about it. Clearly, there's an influence from family. Because the belt is formed, the couple becomes one. When parents sin, the suffering goes to their children. And when children sin, the suffering goes to their parents as well. If a child commits a sin that leads to death, the punishment goes to the parents. It can go to the mother. If the parents commit the kind of a sin, it goes to the child. It goes to the one they love. That's why the Bible tells us to cut off the passions of the flesh. Love must be spiritual. Even within a family, if you practice a spiritual love and cut off the passions of the flesh from your family, you won't be affected by the family ties. However, because most believers do not do this, the sins of the husband can be passed on onto his wife or to their children, also vice versa. What is truly surprising is that when dad sins, the retribution for that sins goes to the child he loves most. It turns out that the dad loves the child most and so much. God is love, and when a person sins, he wants to turn from his sin and save him by making the punishment for his sin fall on the one he loves most. Otherwise, he would go straight to hell. We see that God disciplines us within his loving providence. So if you do heavy fleshly work, you may be subject to the refinement. Especially for the deed of the flesh that lead to death, you may receive the retribution. Such refinements and the retribution as this are only allowed by the permission of God. Therefore, you can become accomplished through these refinements. If you repent and turn back, you can be made whole and be saved. But if you do not turn back, you will fall deeper into the swamp of sin and end up in death. Those who commit a sin that leads to death know what kind of a sin they do, yet they cannot escape and continue to sin deliberately. This is like being stuck in the deep swamp and not being able to escape. They cannot receive the spirit of repentance and cannot repent, and they are destined to fall into hell. Dear brothers and sisters, the prophecy that says the work of the Satan shall be constrained by the Lord Jesus is written in Genesis chapter 3:15. God says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Here the woman doesn't refer to the one who is opposite to the man. The spiritually refers to Israel. I will put enmity between you and woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head. You shall bruise him on the heel. Here, woman does not mean, so then who is the her seed? I said that woman represented the Israel in the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 12:5 says, and she gave birth to son, the male child, who is to rule all the nation with a rod of iron. Who is this man? He's our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the woman gave birth to the son, and Israel gave birth to this Savior. This male who is to rule all the nation with a rod of iron refers to the Jesus Christ. Therefore, her seed in the Genesis chapter 3:15 also refers to the Jesus Christ. Now, this verse reads, and he, of course, Jesus Christ, shall bruise you on the head. It is fatal if a snake is bruised on its head. If you break the snake's head, it will die. God continues to say that in Genesis chapter 3:15, and you shall bruise him on heel. It means that Satan shall bruise Jesus on his heel. If a man is bruised on his heel, he cannot walk, and it will cause him to fall. Therefore, this verse means that Jesus would be nailed on his both feet and crucified on the cross. At the moment sin entered a human being through Adam, God presented a way for the sinner to be saved. That's God promised that he had arranged for the Messiah to be born in Israel to save sinners. Satan also knew this well, but it didn't want to lose its authority in passively. Satan and the devils through that, if they could just get rid of the one who was born as a Savior, they would seize a power in this world forever. The plan seems too plausible to them. When will that woman's descendant be born? They waited eagerly. Which country did they target? Korea? The U.S.? Africa? Since he is offering of a woman, he will be born in Israel, right? That's why Israel is their target. So they thought about killing the Savior as soon as he was born. Whenever a man of God appears, they incited evil people to persecute him and drive him to death. Finally, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born in Israel. So the enemy devil and Satan instigated King Herod, who was ruling the land at the time, to kill baby Jesus. Also, even after Jesus began his public ministry, they tried to harm Jesus on several occasions by instigating evil people. So when baby Jesus was in danger, God sent an angel in advance to have his parents flee to Egypt. Even after King Herod died and returned, they tried to kill Jesus through these evil people several times. Even in the Old Testament, if a prophet or a servant performed the miracles, they were sure to be killed by evil people. It's the same today. If Satan found a servant of God who exercised God's authority, it tries to kill him. They are trying to kill the servant of God who practiced miracles and wonders by accusing them of a heresy. The enemy devil and Satan tried to harm Jesus on several occasions by instigating the evil people. Whenever it happened, God protected Jesus so that no one could hurt Jesus at all. When the time came, Jesus was arrested in the providence of God. He was crucified on the cross, shed his blood, and died. The enemy devil and Satan thought they won the victory. They thought that they would continue to enjoy the worldly power because they destroyed the seed of a woman who would crush the serpent's hand. However, for them, it was a terrible mistake and miscalculations. How many evil schemes and conspirations turn out to be illusion and miscalculations when they look back? When we walk our right path, God protects us, and things go well and go better. But if we don't, do things proceed according to the human plans? No, rather, tribulation and the trials await us. By harming the innocent Jesus, they were inflicting the wounds on themselves. What does it mean? The first half of Romans chapter 6, 23 reveals an important spiritual law. The wages of the sin is death. This, in turn, tells us that the punishment of a death applies to only to sinners. Only to sinners. The punishment of death applies only to sinners such as Adam and Eve who disobeyed God and become sinners and thus suffer the death. Simply put, an innocent person cannot be killed. If you don't commit the sin that leads to death, the enemy devil cannot kill you. In such cases, if you repent and turn from your sins, God will surely protect you without any mistake and comfort you. He's our Father God. But the problem is that people who have committed the sin that leads to death do not suffer from the fatal disease. The book of Hebrews mentions this. If one commits a sin that leads to death without any suffering or disciplines, he's an illegitimate child. How could they be illegitimate? Why would they be illegitimate if they accepted the Lord as their Savior? If children never listen to their parents, mistreat their parents, disobey and deceive them, and if they go against what their parents want, then what will the parents do in the end? Parents who see such a child will be heartbroken and distressed. They will regret raising that child. They will be heartbroken and wish they had never given birth to that child. Some children just let their child to go to jail. In the end, it breaks the bond between the parents and the children, and they become illegitimate children. The same goes for God. How many times must they disobey God's word and commit a sin before becoming an illegitimate child? Moreover, if they are in a position to lead and teach the saints, the wrath of God upon them is multiplied several times. They should have taught and flock well and lead them to heaven, but they keep committing sin while teaching the flock. It shouldn't have happened. So in such a case, they become the illegitimate children. They are not God's children anymore. Returning to the main topic, Satan cannot kill someone who has not committed the sin that leads to death, so he cannot harm Job's life. Job was covered in boils from head to foot, but God could heal him instantly, and God would never allow Satan to take Job's life. In other words, Job did not commit a mortal sin. Therefore, Satan could not kill him. this applies equally to you. Jesus had neither original sin nor self-committed sin. There were absolutely no grounds by which they could have put him to death. But the enemy devil and Satan hurried to get rid of the Messiah and eventually broke the spiritual law. As for the price of the breaking the law, the enemy devil and Satan had to give up their authority. As a result, they were forced to abandon those who had accepted Jesus Christ and become one with him. Also, although Jesus suffered a wound in his heel on the cross, he broke the power of death and was resurrected. So, who become the one with the Lord through faith will also receive the eternal life, like the Lord, and live forever in heaven. Our Lord broke the power of Satan and saved countless sinners, while the enemy Satan fell into his own schemes and lost many things. And thus the word as a record in the Genesis chapter 3:15 was read, he shall bruise you on his head, was accomplished. This is described in 1 Corinthians as a secret cap hidden from the ages. God hid it and worked on it before the ages. If the enemy devil knew it, there would be no need to crucify the Lord. God the Father had Satan to not know it. A secret hidden for the ages was revealed 2,000 years ago. Even now, there's a secret about the work of the Holy Spirit in the last days. Which animals are you most afraid of? Students in the 1980s answered that cockroaches were the scariest to them. But if you squeeze a cockroach with your hands, it will die. Snakes flicks their tongues, sting with a venom, and the bite can kill you. Snakes are the scariest, creepy things ever. Oh, a snake is on the screen. Are men afraid of the snake too? Who is more afraid, men or women? Women? Yeah, women are more afraid of a snake that find them creepy. What's the reason? If you trace back through the female lineage, you will find Eve. Eve was tempted by the snake and ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and was cursed. Our ancestor Eve was tempted by the snake and disobeyed God. That's why her descendant women hate snakes the most. They found them disgusting. Men also find them disgusting, but less so than women. One of my nieces hated the snakes so much that she would faint if someone even shouted, "A snake is there!" So when she went to the zoo, she avoided any areas where there were snakes. Women hate and fear snakes so much, but there are some who don't. Some women make friends with the snakes, wear them around their necks, and they even carry them in their pockets. This is probably a result of a training. One of the characteristics of a woman is that they fear snakes. This is because Eve was deceived by the snake and went down to the path of death. This is why women hate and fear snakes so much. When you understand and interpret the Bible like this, you will realize how accurate the Bible is. I really hate snakes too. Snakes are the most scary animals to me. Well, they are the most disgusting and creepy rather than scary. Even when I was young, I was afraid of snakes. But later, after studying the Bible and learning about it, I realized, oh, that's why I hated the snakes so much.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.